Well, early voting is underway for the Park City Council race with six candidates in the running. The primary, August 13th, will narrow the number of candidates down to four. One of the six is Tim Henney. He joins me now in the studio. Good morning to you, Tim.
Hi, Leslie.
So let's start off. I mean, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
21-year resident of Park City, moved here from back east, been involved with the community with open space and trails, board member, original board member of the Mountain Trails Foundation on two COSAC boards. I think it was COSAC number two and the current COSAC number four, and a board member of Summit Land Conservancy.
Okay. So what do you do for a living?
My ex-wife and I are partners in the building that the Christian Center owns. So we manage and invest in real estate.
All right. So tell us why you decided to run for council. I mean, you don't really have that typical 9-to-5 job. You're just looking for something more to do?
Well, and that's part of it. There's the practical aspect that I have the time and the energy, the resources to allow me to run. So that's the practical aspect. There's also obviously where you start, which is I wish to engage with the community in a different way and maybe a little deeper way than I have in the past. And this is the ability to do that. And then I think that, you know, what I would like to do is bring a little more energy to some conversation that I think is similar to what happened with trails and open space 20 years ago. If we want to kind of vision out 20 years from now and look at the community lifestyle resources that we currently have, how are we going to enhance them? How are we going to preserve them? And what are they? And I think that that conversation is something that I could bring energy to right now.
Yeah, so haven't we kind of done that? I remember sitting in your house in Old Town with community vision back in the 80s.
Well, you have to do that all the time. And we did it back in the 80s, and look at what we have. I mean, we visioned, you know, this resort, this multi-seasonal world-class resort. That was one of the vision elements that came out of that. And other elements that came out of it, which are the things that we've protected and enhanced, were open space and trails, two of the critical things that continue to rank very high when we do the community visioning. But yeah, you have to constantly do community visioning, and that's why we have to constantly be doing an update to the general plan, which is currently underway at City Council.
All right. And you also decided to run against two incumbents. So do you feel like they haven't done a good job, or
do you think
you can do a better job?
No, not at all. I think, you know, Cindy and Alex are part of a high-performing city council, and it's hard to run against incumbents, and that didn't have anything to do with it. It simply is my desire to enhance the process is actually where it started for me. I filed immediately the first day that the window was open, and I think just by, you know, when incumbents run unopposed, that's not a particularly great process. So just by entering, I think I brought something to the process, and I am a believer in the process.
All right. So you mentioned about kind of engaging the community in a deeper conversation. I'm guessing that's one of the issues that you bring into this campaign.
Well,
Tell me about a couple more.
I think the town does a really good job of engaging, and we do these visioning surveys. But, you know, I mean, for me, it's a discussion about what are we – we just did a big water deal, and we did – you know, it was about securing our source and then conveying that water and kind of tying that side of the picture up. And I'm just going to use water as an example of a community resource that I think, you know, enables this discussion to take place. The part that only to this point has really gotten lip service is conservation and how we're going to use water looking out 20 years from now. I think 20 years from now, the way we view water as a resource, the way we are able to use it as a resource, is going to be significantly different than it is today. And if we're going to adjust and adapt to that reality, we have to start that conversation right now. And it has to do with how we conserve and how we use. And we're not going to be able to put culinary treated water on lawns 20 years from now. It's not going to be a matter of cost. It's going to be a matter of ability.
So are you saying that we won't have lawns, or that we're going to be using a different source of...
That's the discussion we have to start if we're going to get there 20 years from now, just like if we got from 25 miles of single-track trail 20 years ago to 400 miles of single-track today. That discussion had to begin 20 years ago. So that's what I'm saying about other lifestyle resources like water, because it is a lifestyle resource. If our water goes away, what happens to this town? And it's not going to go away, but the way we view it, the way we use it, has to shift, has to change. So I think the conversation to shift the community collective view of water has to begin now.
Well, we may need even a lot more water if we want to have snow on the slopes, right?
Well, a lot more water, where does that, you know, there's only so much water.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the other issues you bring in to the campaign?
Well, I would love to see a community sustainable energy farm, you know, call it a solar wind farm. I would like to see some sort of municipal and private partnership, and possibly out in Richardson's Flat, where we pump power into the grid. We sign up all the municipal buildings to do a purchase agreement of power for whatever that can produce and kickstart it that way. And then we broaden it out, just as they're doing with the solar panels. Right now, we're doing a source of use with solar panels, which I'm fully supportive and behind. But I'd like to see that go a little bit bigger. And again, I think 20 years from now, that's going to be something that is a reality. But if we're going to get from here to there, we got to start talking about it today.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've looked into wind farms, and I'm sure
we've done studies.
I don't think it worked.
Well, yeah.
We have enough wind.
I think we have at times enough wind to supplement what we have, which is unbelievable ample amounts of sun. So, yeah, I think that we do have the ability, and it's a little bit of a leap of faith on the numbers, but that's what this town is about. I mean, this town is very progressive. This town is about pushing the envelope, exploring the edges in those kind of progressive issues. And that, again, is the sort of discussion, if we're going to do it, and it's a discussion, it's a community discussion that needs to happen now so that we end up 20 years from now on a course and a path that could possibly lead us to that. I call it sustainable. You know, it's sustainable energy. If we're going to protect the power that we have in this town on a sustainable, viable way in the future, we're going to have to shift.
Yeah. So given your support for sustainability, and this is something that just got brought up as I was talking with the installer doing some of these solar panels, part of the Summit Community Solar. And he was basically saying that it should be required, all new construction be wired for solar. I mean, is that something you're going to...
I think that's a great concept. Again, that's where the conversation, we need to get that input from the installers, from the professionals. We have to, you know, bring it to the surface of debate and conversation and awareness within the community. I think that's where we start. I don't think it's there yet, and I think that needs to begin happening.
Yeah, but you're saying you're supporting increased cost of construction, though.
Well, yeah, right. And we've done that throughout the history of Park City. I mean, you get used to be able to throw up a shack that didn't have any codes or ordinances, and look at us now, you know. I mean, we're putting in fire protection. We're putting in, you know, all sorts of elements that are additional costs, but that's the trade-off. That's what we do. And yeah, there are going to be places where there is additional costs and places where, you know, possibly there isn't. That ties into sustainable housing. I think that, you know, the city needs to continue its effort to provide affordable housing. I'd like to see that broaden out. I'd like to see that possibly get funded some way through the city for development, not just encouraging, private through incentives, the private sector to do it. I'd like to see the city take a little more active role. That's sustainable housing, and that would offset the costs for these other elements. Gray water systems, yeah, cost twice as much to put in a gray water system because you're replicating, you're duplicating your overall plumbing system. But gray water 20 years from now, I think we're all going to have them. Yeah. So we have to start that.
Doesn't that conversation, though, start at the State House?
Yeah. Well, the state has actually authorized you can do gray water systems, and then it goes to Summit County Health Department. And we recently talked with Rich and the water person over there, and they kind of ran me through it. And, it can be done. They have never had a request for an official gray water system in Summit County. So, again, that conversation needs to begin now if we're going to get to the point where we are looking at gray water systems and the ability to have them.
Hmm. Somebody who had one set up at their house,
right.
I mean, they were shut down.
Yep, because they didn't go through the official permitting. Yeah, I know. And then there's, capture of rainwater. I mean, how about that for a concept? You know, you put barrels out under your gutters. You have to have gutters. You have to be able to capture it. Then what do you do with it? And how do you put it on your lawn? Where is that rainwater going? But these are the sort of ideas and thoughts that I think we're going to be, they will be reality. It's just a matter of when and how we get there.
Okay. Just a couple of yes or no answers here. I mean, should Park City, the city, purchase a portion of the Treasure Project to limit density there?
Probably.
That's
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. And what about, should we build a reservoir in Round Valley?
I'm going to say no.
Because?
Because I think if we do conservation and use and shift, we're not going to need a reservoir in Round Valley.
Yeah. And as somebody who's certainly supported a number of the events, have we reached a limit of hosting events here in town?
I don't think so. I think, it's part of, my fear is congestion. I think the biggest risk to our town and all these various elements that I've talked to is congestion. And we're hitting, it looks like we've got event congestion. It looks like we have transportation congestion. It looks like, we have things going on in our lives congestion. There's a lot of congestion, but it's a matter of managing that congestion. This staff is incredible with how they manage and how they prioritize, and that's where they've gotten to, is a point of, yeah, the calendar's pretty full. How do we prioritize? What do we lose? What do we gain? What's the benefit to the community? And that's the process that they're in now, not trying to just add events. There's not much room to add events, but we can adjust, grow, enhance the ones that we have and still have room to do that.
Last Saturday, there were six events going on in town.
I know. It's
one day, six.
Leslie, back in the day when there was no Jupiter Peak Steeplechase, it was like, what weekend do you want to do Jupiter Peak Steeplechase? There was no conflict. I mean, you had to look out a little bit with Tour de Suds, but Tour de Suds kind of had it locked down on that second week in September, right? I mean, there was no conflict. Now, anybody who wants to come in and do an event, they have to first look at the calendar and see if there's even a place where they can do it. Yeah, it's amazing.
All right. Well, just in 30 seconds or so, tell us why people should vote for Tim Henney.
Well, first, I'd just like to encourage people to be aware that the early voting is taking place, and it's 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock on weekdays up at the Marsac building. That's a great way to get out and take advantage of your right to vote. And I think being part of the process and voting is critical. As far as voting for me, I bring energy. I bring a bit of vision. I bring diligence and detail, focus, and I think I would represent the community quite well.
Okay, Tim, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Leslie.
It's Park City Council candidate Tim Henney. We're scheduled to talk with Bill McKenna tomorrow, still trying to track him down. Stay tuned.